listening to the CBC Podcast, a humorous look at matters of faith and culture.
Okay, so welcome to the CBC Podcast. Today on the show, we've got Nick.
Hello.
And we've got Ashley. We finally have a female voice.
Go team. Yeah. It's about time.
And I'm Britton. So, yeah, yay us.
Yay us.
Yay us. Guys, this week, there was an article in Christian Today that politician turned preacher Hillary Clinton prepares to finally come out as a Christian leader. So, I guess the murders don't count. So
she's been forgiven.
But the apostle Paul murdered a lot of people. So I guess it's
that was pre-conversion. Is this post-conversion?
Yeah. I think it is.
Is this just a different attempt at power?
It might be. My cynical side says yes. That is exactly what this is. I think, but okay, let's give her the benefit of the doubt. I mean, I'm going to for at least 5 seconds. For 5 seconds.
5 seconds.
I'm going to give her the benefit of the doubt that she's got something good to say. She's got something positive, and she cares about people. And so great. I guess let her do whatever she's going to do. As it stands, apparently she's from a Methodist tradition, not a Mexican tradition, a Methodist tradition. And the guy in the article is talking about, like, yeah, she probably won't go to seminary and she's not going to, like, pastor a church, but she's just going to occasionally show up places and deliver sermons, which sermons and political speeches aren't that much different, are they?
No, not really.
But Hillary Clinton's the one person that whole women should not be permitted to speak line should apply to. But only her. Only her.
So
her and her daughter. That was the only, that's just, it.
So this is not for such a time as Clinton. I don't know how I feel about it. Well, I do know how I feel about it. If someone who's been in one kind of public light just suddenly says, hey, I'm a Christian, good, I'm happy for them.
Right.
You know, Justin Bieber just recently was talking about his conversion to Christianity. And I think Jim Carrey, some people were telling me that Jim Carrey, like, converted to Christianity. Mm. So good, very good for them. That being said, I don't think those guys, or in this case, Hillary Clinton, needs to come out and become Pastor Hillary.
I'd like to see, you know, maybe more than 5 minutes of her practicing the faith before she decides to start leading it. I think it's kind of like one of those things where you gotta prove yourself to me in some way before I'm gonna be on that train.
Yeah,
I agree with you. I feel like she needs to have shown us something, and maybe she has. Maybe she's kept her faith in the secret from the limelight from her politics in order to keep religion out of her politics. And if that's the case,
she does have a public opinion and a private opinion.
Right.
But to go from one world leader to stepping into a spiritual leader, I think is kind of dangerous.
It's
whether she's a pastor over a group or not, I feel like she's going to have a following, and that's why I kind of made the comment about power earlier.
It's,
you know, she lost the presidential election, and now is she just trying to get whatever people she had to continue to
I mean, if she's legitimate, I mean, it might be a good Christian voice for the left, because all we've got right now is Rob Bell. But what I don't want is ABC Primetime showing up and saying things like, hey, America's new pastor, because that's obviously Oprah Winfrey's job.
No, I thought that was Joel Osteen's.
Joel Osteen, I don't know. Maybe. I don't know. Speaking of Joel, I don't know anyone who likes him.
Except for the thousands of people that show up to
thousands of people. I mean, Sunday. Personally.
I don't know anybody.
I don't have the problem with them that a lot of people have with them, but just, I don't know, man. He takes a lot of flack.
He does.
He takes a lot of flack. And like any time that I know of a preacher that is, they're complaining about TV preachers, his name comes up. Like, there's like four others that would come up for me first.
But. Does he take flack because of what he says, or does he take flack because of how he says it? Because for me, the reason I don't like him is he comes off as very sort of fake. And that's why I can't get behind that camp. So I've never actually listened to the guy because I can't get past the way he speaks.
A lot of people think he's too weak.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. They think he's weak. Do you think he's weak?
I think he's fake. I can't get past the big cheesy grin, no matter who's hurt you, Jesus
weak.
Loves you. And,
yeah.
Which is true. Like, none of that is wrong.
It's just offers a lot of inspiration.
He does.
Okay, but, you know, I think Christianity might be codependent on inspiration. Think about it. All of our...
maybe modern Christianity.
Yeah.
Like, we like the sound bites of inspiration.
Yeah. We like our quotes. We like our music.
Yeah, we like our Facebook posts that are just those inspirational. Yeah.
You don't hear anyone talking about that. They talk about hope a lot, but I don't know. It just bothers me. Guys, there was a woman who was dead for 23 hours, and she went to hell. And there she saw Michael Jackson and Pope John Paul II.
I assume she saw Michael Jackson down there because he was bad.
And then...
hey! You know it. You know.
Shimon! yeah, he was bad. Mm-hmm. And then she resurrected, I guess, is how the story's going.
Wait, she resurrected or she
was
revived? Yeah,
well, she came revived. I'm sorry, I was using church language again.
Resurrected sounds like of her own volition.
She resurrected herself to tell us about who was in hell, which is apparently Michael Jackson and Pope John Paul II. Like, I don't know.
Why Pope John Paul II, though?
Why
would we, personally, why would we think he'd be down
Maybe
there?
It's the Pope she recognized. Assuming there is more than one Pope down there. That's not right at all. I'm cutting that part out.
Hey, if you believe some of what those people say, they're all down there. Because what is it, the seven hills and the seven this and all that stuff pointing to the rapture.
The last thing the CBC podcast needs is the Catholic Coalition coming in and saying...
Yeah, they're just going to do calisthenics to us.
Hey, don't make fun of the liturgy, buddy.
Look, I went to a Catholic service once, and I hated it because I did exercise. Let's put it that
right.
way.
My one experience with the Catholic service was they brought the babies up to do baby baptism, whatever, and they prayed a prayer of exorcism over them, and one of the babies did not stop screaming. I was like, this can't fare well.
Man. Here's what I want to know. Do you guys believe that people go to hell and then come back and tell us about it?
I don't know.
I sometimes question the existence of hell as a place for people.
Yeah.
Like if it's a, because it does, it says it's created for Satan, what is it, Lucifer and his angels. Mm-hmm. Does that include people, or do those people who die that were not saved just die and cease to exist? Maybe they're ghosts.
A lot of Christian pastors would say the hell's full of people. And then there's some who say no, and then there's some who say we'll all figure it out somehow.
Well, yeah, we're going to figure it out at some point.
So I don't.
I tend to believe in hell as a legit place, legit thing. But I mean, I guess if you believe in the afterlife as like the 7 minutes. You know, people die and go to heaven and then come back to tell their experiences. Why wouldn't there be people who go to hell and get their experiences
Well,
shown?
I guess same question. Do you believe that
I don't know
either?
That I believe that either. Yeah. I tend to
I think
have
people
a lot
can have some wild...
That.
Yeah, I've got a lot of skepticism for it because, well, one, no story is the same. And then it's always a catalyst for a bunch of book sales in movies.
True.
So
you think hell would be consistent?
Yeah, you think it would. Either heaven or hell, either one. They should be consistent.
But and what kind of... My thing is they're never really, like, details.
Yeah.
Other than, like, oh, I saw this person and this person. I mean, I didn't really get to read the article, but I want to know, like, specific details. Was it just fire and agony? Was it, like, you know, a giant gory cityscape? Like, you know, I don't know.
I guess.
Adolf Hitler there?
Was Hitler there? Like, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know the answers, but it just my knee-jerk reaction is like, oh, great, we got another one. That's
right.
That's my reaction.
Right.
Man. So, guys, we've been talking about... And lady. Sorry.
Gender neutral here.
Yeah. Gender neutral.
I'm sorry.
Did you just assume?
I'm trying to be radically inclusive of everyone. Okay, so if you've been listening to the past few episodes, you know that I have always complained that there's not a good outlet for Christian art. So I decided to give PureFlix a try. So this week I gave them my credit card number.
Dun, dun, dun.
And they hooked me up with a free month. It's not just for me especially. They'll do that for any of you. But the price is $10.99 a month. So I just wanted to check it out, see how it goes, and to see if there's anything there that, you know, I'm not looking for get them saved in every movie or something like that. Although that's there. What I'm looking for is something like an outlet for good Christian film. And I wanted to see if it exists. So I did the thing, and... first off, let's talk about the things that they can control. Good quality. Okay. Good. It was crisp, except for when I could tell they just took a DVD rip of something that was old. Yeah, and they didn't even bother de-interlacing it, which I don't know if you know what that is.
I don't know.
No, he does.
I can piece together
I
what it is.
I can see the lines that were... So that part bothered me. But, you know, overall, it's $10.99 a month. What is Netflix now?
I think it's the same.
Okay. I don't know. They're, you know, they're there at the same time. The player, it could do more. The reason I say that is, you know, on Netflix, when you say, hey, back to browsing, I'm done watching this. No, you got to hit the back button on your browser. I know that's a little thing. But,
does it skip the intros and everything like Netflix does?
Well, here's the thing with their series is... They don't really seem to have complete series. It's like they would have like 5 or 6 episodes of a series. Huh. So from the ones I've watched, I've been trying to watch so far. I mean,
do they like start in the middle, or do they at least give you the first couple, and then maybe the budget for that series is gone? Yeah. They never made the rest of it.
Some of these are like TV shows that we would know that because they have a lot of stuff from the 50s and 60s, like really old stuff. So,
because those were cleaner than what they are now.
Yeah, those are clean. But if they know, all I know is when I listen to, all I know is that my mom wasn't allowed to watch that stuff when she was a kid.
Right. Oh.
So, you know, it is what it is. So here's the thing. I kind of broke it down into, my own, breakout because, you know, they're going to say Christian films, Westerns, all that kind of stuff. Here's where I'm going with it. Here's what I found. I found Christian persecution films, rapture films, Little House on the Prairie-esque films and TV shows, Hallmark movies, not made by Hallmark, though, but that kind of...
Romance,
cheesiness, my wife would love it kind of thing, but I wouldn't like... So those weren't made for me.
You know, with a tub of ice cream and tissues.
There's nothing wrong with that.
No, I'm not judging.
I'm just saying.
It's just not for me. Now, action movies, like hilarious comedies...
You don't need hormones for a tub of ice cream. Yeah. Everybody wants ice cream.
There are a lot of stand-up comedy acts on there.
Really?
Yeah. Some of them are even funny.
I was going to say, people like we would know or like mainstream?
No.
Like Shonda Pierce sort of Christian acts?
Could not find Shonda Pierce on there.
Brad Stein.
But do what?
Brad Stein.
I didn't see Brad Stein.
Tim Hawkins.
Louis Anderson. Do you know who he is?
Yeah.
Okay, Louis Anderson was hosting a Pure Flix Christian comedy night or something like that.
Nice. Weird.
But he's always worked clean.
Okay.
So yeah, he's never worked blue. Huh. So I don't know what his faith is, but you know, not a bad choice. Has some facial recognition. Also, you got classic TV. Said that with 50 sitcoms, a lot of westerns, some children's programming, and here was the weird one. There was a lot of just plays on there.
In
low budget plays. Like there was a one man show on John Wesley, talking about, it's very interesting church history. So there's a lot of church history in there.
Hmm.
The problem is all of it was made in like the '70s and '80s. It's real corny.
The plays were made in the 70s.
And then they did a couple of other things. Like they had a guy playing Paul in prison, and this one was for like 30 minutes or so. And it's pretty much him reciting Ephesians. It's like, I can read this. Like, let's give me...
Now I've thought of... There's a couple of books that I'm like, you could stand up and just, like, quote this.
Yeah.
And it'd be a really good sermon and go sit down. And people would be upset at you. Well, and you'd be like, well, it's scriptural.
Yeah. It's nothing but scripture. And that's what they did. That's what they did for
Which
this.
Which is impressive. It's like redoing Shakespeare.
Yeah. I couldn't make it through it, though.
Really?
It just wasn't that interesting to watch. Because one old man... I mean, what you don't want... is talking heads on television.
Like, especially just, if you're paying money for it.
Yeah. I mean, the reason why the CVC podcast is an audio podcast is because, like...
We're not attractive enough for cameras.
Speak Ashley for
yourself. I will speak for myself.
Ashley's great. Me and you, we've got problems. But...
Brown bag the episodes. The brown bag episode.
Which I'd be okay with that, or dressing up as clowns or something like that. I've thought before, maybe after this is recorded, I could go back and do sock puppets for the voices. That would be a lot more interesting.
Do it like Canadians in South Park, where they just their little mouths are just up and down. That's it.
Yeah, do something like that. That might be okay. But, just having the talking head sitting there wasn't that good. They have a night show called I don't think it's every night, but. It's like Pure Flix Tonight or something like that. Don't quote me on that.
So it's kind of it streams like a TV show that's very similar to
a
late night show type of thing.
More like late night news, that kind of thing. So
700 Club type news, or just
it seems like 700 Club meets Culture versus Christian.
Okay,
but without the comedy. Decent. Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah. I don't know what that makes us, because I did it.
You just slam us without meaning to.
Self-deprecation. Is there anything new on this? Like, other than this late night show, are they adding new things?
I think they are. And, you know, content costs a lot of money either to produce it or to buy it, the rights to it. So, I don't expect it to be Netflix.
Right.
I would like to see some more up-to-date stuff. I would like to see some variations of stuff. But I understand it, too, that they've done market research, and the people that they're looking for and that they figure is probably going to be women who are going to buy into this and subscribe to it.
Just your hardcore, really strict evangelical.
Yeah. Like strict dads.
Strict, like they don't have a television, but they can download Pure Flix and just watch it.
Did you watch God's Not Dead 2 on here?
I did.
Okay,
I did.
So that's relatively new.
Right. So
that's a big thing.
Let's talk about God. Have you guys seen God's Not Dead 2?
I haven't seen the first one.
Okay.
It didn't look. I saw the Duck Dynasty. Like, look, I like the Duck Dynasty guys, but I saw that they were in it, and I went, it's probably not going to be very good.
They weren't in it that much. My problem with the first one is it ended with the dude getting hit by a truck.
Yeah. And it was the guy who played Hercules, so...
They killed Kevin Sorbo?
Yeah, killed Kevin Sorbo.
Spoilers!
He's a dirty little...
He didn't pick it up and throw it?
Time when they left something in... No, did he get saved at the end?
I don't remember. You'd have to watch the movie to find out.
I have figured out that people love to watch... Christians love to watch people get saved on film the way, like... people who like romantic comedies like to watch people kiss.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
That's, it's that feel-good moment of nothing can go wrong after this point, even though everything goes wrong will after go that wrong. Point.
Or that moment of, like, finally, yay! You know, like, you know, when you've got five seasons of that sort of, what is it, X-Files romance where they never do anything, and you're like, come on, just do it, you know?
Yeah. So, I mean, so that's what we're dealing with there. So we get to God's Not Dead 2. And I shouldn't joke about cancer, but...
You're going to. He said, but he's going to.
In the first film, it's not that I'm making fun of people with cancer. That would be terrible. But they didn't have a plot that was strong enough to carry the film. So they had a lot of subplots.
Cancer was one of them.
They do that.
And one girl was like, went to the doctor and all of a sudden like, you've got cancer, you know? And the thing is, we're sitting there.
Was that the first one or the second one?
This is the first one.
Okay, it was the first one. They did that.
The cancer girl's in the second one.
Oh, I see.
But yeah, I'll bring it back around. There's going to be spoilers here. I don't know if our listeners really care about that sort of thing, but just so on both movies. So this girl's in there and like, oh, you've got cancer. And she's like, eh, yeah, yeah. But the problem is we were watching it and it was just beat by beat. We knew what was going to happen next because it was so predictable and the plots were so thin that it was me and my wife and this kid that, you know, one of our friends. And I just kind of look over there like, we all looked at the show like, she's got cancer, don't she? I'm like, you got cancer. And
I wish they would have said it like that in the movie.
You've got cancer.
Have you got cancer?
Dun, dun.
And so we're sitting there just laughing our butts off. Just like, oh, God, they, you know, which is, it's not a funny moment in the film at all. And there are people weeping. And so we're laughing. I'm a jerk. I'm just a big old honking jerk. And I understand my problems and I'll repent later. But the problem that we... So all that was there. So same kind of thing, except this time, cancer girl, she was cured. And she called Michael Tate from Newsboys.
Oh, nice.
To tell him that she was cured. He's like, praise God.
He's and, like, I don't know you, but cool.
Yeah, he was like, no, he remembered her. It's part of the plot. So that was all in there. And but she's like, no, I've got questions about, you know, about God. You're like, wait, you had this great redemptive moment. You were healed from cancer. Now you're like, I don't know if God's real. So,
isn't that real life though? Don't we see that?
We see it a lot. And I don't know. I just wasn't buying it because she bought it. I don't know. I just wasn't. I get it happens all the time. I just didn't like it.
Pulls you out. Didn't convince you.
Yeah, and yeah, that was it. It was just very unconvincing. So,
give me that.
So, it goes on. The whole thing of the film is this teacher played by Sabrina the Teenage Witch.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah, Melissa Joan Hart.
Yeah, Melissa Joan Hart.
See, I see her as Clarissa.
Yeah, Clarissa explains it all.
Yeah.
And the funny thing for poor Clarissa is she had nothing to do in the movie because it was all about her saying one thing wrong in class and because she was a teacher and they accused her of proselytizing in class and then they drag her out to court and she just sits in a courtroom quiet for the next 2 hours.
That's a shame.
That's the whole movie?
She's a decent actress.
Pretty much. It's just a two-hour movie of a court case with all these subplots peppered in. And everyone, and like, and then they set it up for a third one, but it's all Christian persecution, and like it was unrealistic. And I know we live in weird times when people of faith are really hated, but I don't know. I just wasn't buying any of it. I don't know.
Sounds awful.
Yeah.
Sounds awful.
Yeah. It was a thin plot. I think they could have done better. Now I don't blame PureFlix for this. I blame whoever.
God's Not Dead Too.
Yeah, I blame God's Not Dead Too. And get ready because they set it up for God's Not Dead 3 because one pastor wouldn't give his sermon transcripts to the authorities.
I think we understand that God's not dead by now.
Right.
I think, yeah. I mean, you'd think with a movie like that called God's Not Dead that they'd be at least trying to prove God or, you know, it'd be more redemptive than just sitting in a courtroom for 2 hours or whatever.
Yeah, it's just, I don't know. It's based on the assumption that we're all either being persecuted or going to be. So there's not a whole lot of you can do with that because as goofy as our country is sometimes, I've never felt persecuted. I don't even feel like I'm
not for Christianity.
Yeah, not for Christianity. Yeah. I've never even felt the threat of it.
I felt that outside of the Bible Belt every now and then, but not very often.
Yeah.
Like...
Yeah, you're right. I mean, I try not to go outside.
I will say though that one thing I've noticed in movies and that kind of thing is that they always, if there is like a crazy religious element of anything, it is always Christianity though.
Yeah.
You never see a movie where somebody's like being like a kid or whatever is being reprimanded by their like crazy overzealous Jewish mother or Muslim yeah. father or whatever. It's always like, for instance, okay, so there's a show on USA that I started watching called The Sinner.
Yeah.
And it's got Jessica Biel in it, and she's the only name I recognized. But it's about a woman who is literally, she's on the beach with her family, and then just out of nowhere, she decides to get up and murder some dude. Murder? Like, literally wow. just walks up, just starts stabbing the guy.
That escalated quickly.
And the only reason I wanted to watch it, this is going to sound really sick, but the only reason I wanted to watch it was because the tagline... Yes, but the tagline was, this is the hardest thing to watch on TV. And I watched and went,
not really. Soulless
but,
monster.
I know, but, you know, that's what happens when you have the internet. But the whole premise is that she has a crazy, super Catholic mom who she has a sister who is brought home, and she's told that the sister has some disease or something. And she's told, if you do these things, your sister will not get better because God will not heal your sister. Wow. So, like, she has an aunt who gives her a chocolate bar, and she's like, I'm going to keep this chocolate bar, you know, kid stuff, and I'm going to put it away, and I'm going to eat it one day. And her mom finds it and goes, you have to bury that in the yard. And it's stuff like that that makes God not heal your sister. And I'm like, why is it always the crazy Christian people that they always go after in these things?
God. I have an idea.
Like the water boy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Foosball's the devil.
Foosball's everything's
I
the
have
devil.
A feeling in a why, because I think whoever wrote it, they're writing from what they know.
True.
And... have you ever taken it like
I think it came from a book series, so I don't know who the original writer, or a book, so I don't know who the original author is, but they adapted it. It's an interesting show. The whole premise of the show is for figuring out why she did it, because she doesn't even really know.
What's the name of this?
The Sinner.
The Sinner?
If you have the free channel, it's on there.
Okay.
That's where I watched it. I'm not paying for it.
I think a lot of the guys who are writing out in Hollywood, they've probably came up on a lot of weird Christian folk in their own family or something like that, because they write them well and realistic sometimes.
Yeah, that's not to say they're not out there. I'm not saying
and
that.
And some of them are written from anger.
But yeah.
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 As a Christian, I've met those people, and you're like, I don't really want to be around you because you're not showing anything right now.
Yeah.
We're just going to have to... not even agree to disagree. We're just going to have to walk away.
Religiously challenged.
Sorry, sis. I'm going to eat this chocolate bar.
Yeah. I have to say religiously challenged now.
And all of those people are usually uneducated. Like the ones that are preaching those things, they're completely uneducated and they're going off of what someone has told them.
Mm-hmm.
And they just, or they take one piece of scripture and they run with it. And they're like, this is mine and we're going to claim it until it becomes true. And they hurt and do persecute people, and there's no reason. No wonder why they're persecuted.
I think some of that can be brainwashing too, feeling part of an identity and pushing an ideology or whatever.
Yeah.
Segue.
I feel like we there's something we should have been talking about all along here,
like some event or something, like something big that happened over the weekend.
Charlottesville.
Charlottesville.
There that's what we were forgetting. I don't know if they're going to buy that we forgot
that.
We did forget about that.
We held that to the end on purpose.
Yeah. Okay, everyone. We've got to do this. Okay, let's start off by doing what we have to do, because it's not obvious to everybody.
Yeah.
We here at the CBC podcast condemn white supremacists, neo-Nazis, and
Antifa and socialism and communism.
No, we can't. Sorry. No, sorry, we don't condemn them
yet. That's me.
We don't condemn them yet. But just as a whole, any racist group, any white supremacist group, we absolutely condemn them. We think racism's terrible. And I know you think I sound sarcastic. I'm not. We hate that stuff.
100% honesty on that one.
Yeah.
100% honesty. There's no irony in my voice. We hate all that stuff. The problem is, and here's the big but, everyone's forcing everyone to take a side. And apparently everybody only thinks there's two sides.
Yeah.
You can either be Nazi or Antifa.
See, that's the thing. They called the other side not Nazis. You know? And it was like, oh, yeah, but they're Antifa.
Right.
Can we please come on? They're the same thing.
You have two extremist groups going at each
they're
other.
Yeah. Socialists.
They were protesting against each other.
Right. And they were both armed.
Yeah.
So I hate racism, but I can't get on Team Antifa because they're not fighting for anything anyone's going to jump on board with. We can agree on how bad things are and how bad white supremacist is, but geez, I don't know.
Oh, we talked about this earlier in our Facebook chat that my personal problem with Antifa is that of the both of the groups, right? I have issues with both of them. I don't like either group.
Right.
White supremacists, Nazis, whatever, and then you got Antifa, who are just terrible in general. But my problem with Antifa is that they, in comparison to the two, are hypocritical to the just they're just hypocritical about their movement because that's anti-fascist is what it is. But their whole form of not letting people have a platform by violence.
Yeah.
Did we all forget about Berkeley? Like, seriously.
Yeah, that was crazy.
Know, when was it Milo decided to show up and have a speech and they shut it down by throwing crap and lighting fires? And like, that's literal fascism. Mm. And your movement's called anti-fascism. At least the Nazis aren't being hypocritical about what their movement is. White supremacy.
Yeah. I try to come from a place of nonviolence. And I know a lot of people who try to come from a place of nonviolence. Mm. But they're justifying violence.
Yeah.
And they're pushing forth their motive from violent perspective. They're not against it. They're like, yeah, you throw something at me, I'm throwing something at you. Or I'm just going to throw something at you and make you, I'm going to provoke you on purpose.
To be honest, I think both of those sides wanted stuff thrown at them so that they could throw back.
They totally did.
Everybody came to fight. Now, Donald Trump wasn't the one who should have said that to the world. Because as a president, the only thing he should have said as the president is walk up, racism is terrible. All these groups shouldn't have done it. Rawr. That's all he should have done.
He still would have gotten crap for it.
He still would have gotten crap for it. But now I think all three of us here and probably the listeners of CBC would understand when you say, there's a lot of crazy stuff on both sides.
Oh, absolutely.
He just didn't contrast that properly with racism is awful.
Yeah.
So that's where he went wrong there.
World of sound bites. The media likes to take they that one it. Thing and go and run with it. I didn't actually hear a speech, so I don't know if there was contrasting beforehand or afterwards.
No, there
wasn't.
But
they grabbed that. Fair enough.
How many speeches has he?
He's delivered three.
Three. Okay, so I think I only heard the first one.
So the first day he said all sides. All sides are bad stuff. All sides.
That is a terrible impression.
Yeah. That's what he sounds like to me, though.
In your head.
All sides. I guess everyone sounds. I'm not here for impressions. I'm here for
best impressions.
Mm-hmm. Huge impressions.
Mm-hmm. That's great.
I sound like Jimmy Fallon doing an impression of Donald Trump. That's what that sounds like, which is awful. So the second speech, he comes out and names the names, white, you know, neo-Nazis, and white supremacist, whatever the other one is, Ku Klux Klan, whatever he had to say. So he goes out there and says all that, and you're like, okay, good. Of course, everyone comes in, it's too little too late.
Right.
Just everyone's got the same
Even though
voice.
He made the first speech.
Yeah, he made that first speech, he made that one, and he's like, well, he finally said it. But and then he comes back the next day in a press conference, and they challenge him on it, and... And he said, you know what? There were a lot of people doing a lot of bad things there on all sides. You know, he just totally went back to his first statement.
Was that the one where at the end of it, what's his name, Acosta says, why don't you stay and talk about this? You never addressed it. And he said, yeah, he's walking off. And he says, I did address it. And he was like, well, can you answer questions about it? He said, I can't answer questions from you. I'm not going to answer questions from fake news.
Yeah.
Oh, fake news.
I saw one point where he looked out. He goes, yeah, you, question, fake news, you.
He does that all the time.
I love it. And it's... And, you know,
I don't like it just because he's such a man in power and the world is laughing at us.
The funny thing is that CNN then doubles down with that thing that happened today.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
With was it Barcelona where the guy runs the van and he kills like 13 people.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then they start saying that they're taking cues from the neo-Nazis. They're from the Nazis. It was like,
no.
CNN, you're not making your case.
True.
Yeah. They've been... Over there in Europe, man, they've been running vehicles into people
for years.
Yeah. So it's, I don't know. It's obviously we've got very bad bias news. And
ooh, buddy. Yeah.
On both sides.
Yeah.
On both sides.
On
yeah.
both sides.
On both sides.
Can anyone do a better Donald Trump than me?
I can't do a better Donald Trump. No.
So you have to stick with this horrible impression. But it is. It's on all sides that we don't have good news. I don't know.
I usually read BBC purely because anything that they say is going to be a little less
at least
biased.
It's going to be British.
Yeah, and I get to hear a British accent.
Even then, BBC is leaning. They're still leaning pretty socialist. And there are people who are in England who are super mad about that because their taxes go to the BBC.
Yeah.
And I mean, I follow a few English YouTubers that have been talking about it, and they're super mad about, like, they pay... They have like a television permit they have to get or something.
Oh,
over there.
Yeah, you got
to
pay for
and they, then there's they're pushing like propaganda on the TV, and they're like, we didn't pay money for this. We don't want this. Please stop.
See, that's why I'm glad we don't have state run media, because it would just be the puppet of whoever, of whatever presidential administration is in.
Although I've seen people say that NPR is that for us. I don't know that I agree with it, but I've seen people.
Yeah.
Like, post those arguments of it being a
they
government.
They always leaned a little left. But I'll say this. They seem like they're trying not to do that.
They try to bring both sides of the coin, although they usually do lean.
Well, just from the fact that they're coming from the perspective of left, this isn't an insult. It's just where they are. They're coming from the perspective of the left. So the questions that they ask would only be asked by someone who's on the left. A person
sense.
On the right wouldn't think of saying that or asking that. So, yeah, there's a lot of that there.
But I don't know. I mean, it sucks that it got so out of hand to the point that somebody was killed.
Yeah,
and
it does.
However many people were injured. Like, the police should have intervened way before then.
Yeah. The guy with the Dodge Charger or Challenger or whatever it was, who ran into those people, like, He was on the Nazi side, right?
I don't know.
I'm not sure.
I still don't know.
Do we still not know?
I don't know.
I thought I saw one thing where they said they saw his picture. They put his mugshot up beside someone on the Nazi. But, I don't know.
He certainly had the haircut.
Okay.
So, I mean, I've seen the picture of him.
He
had
the Nazi
haircut. But I don't know. Although I will say that, I don't want to say this, like the name, because it's going to get thrown out, but... There's a joke that I don't know if it's real or not, but my friend and I have a joke called the Ann Coulter rule, where she made this idea that if it were a person who were of a left leaning, it would take a long time before anything came out about it. However, if it were conservative, the media would have jumped all over that instantly.
Yeah. That does tend to happen.
Yeah.
And
that's why we call it
is.
Coulter's Law.
Is that, it's called Coulter's
That's
Law?
That's what we call it. I don't know if it is or not, but it's because she said it.
I'm not saying I didn't pick a side. I've picked a side. I'm anti-racism. I'm anti-inhumanity.
Right.
But I feel like everyone's trying to push us into a side.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then they only present two sides. Like, how... That's unfair.
And it doesn't help either that, you know, Antifa... I mean, this is my own opinion. The neo-Nazis, or whatever they are, the racists have always been there.
Mm-hmm.
They're never going to go away, but you're never going to win more people to your cause if you are doing nothing but talking about how, you know, white people are the problem.
Yeah.
I think that's just going to end up creating more of those people. And honestly, it wouldn't surprise me if it escalated.
I mean, do you think we're going to have a civil war again?
It's going to be the most hipster of civil wars if it happens.
I mean,
I feel like our country is already divided.
Yeah.
I mean, you can see that in the election. Mm-hmm. It was like 50-50. Like, you have your Democrats, you have your Republicans, you have a lot of people in the middle that have to lean one way or the other because we have no other option.
Right.
Yeah.
And everything is 50-50. And everyone just yells back and forth. Right. There's no debate. We don't know how to have a civil discussion.
No one understands nuance anymore.
No one understands debate.
This might be the most civil conversation on the internet.
I'm mad at the libertarians because all they talk about now is pot.
Yeah, I'm
like, really? Are you kidding me? Like, that's the one reason I couldn't vote for Gary. Well, not the one reason I couldn't vote for Gary Johnson, but he opened his mouth and I'm like, you're so stupid, dude.
Yeah. We don't have good candidates. We haven't had good candidates. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing. If I mean, I'm not going to ask anyone how they voted, but I've seen a lot of people on the news saying, well, you know, if you've mostly Facebook posts, not the news. If you voted for Donald Trump, like, how do you justify that in your Christianity? And I'm like,
It's easy.
Yeah. he was, you know, as they said in South Park, you've got the choice between a douche and a turd.
You do.
And that's what we had. And, you know, they were like, well, we don't want a Clinton in. I guess we got to go with this guy. And it's not that they wanted him. It's not that they're happy about his job performance or his Twitter account.
Which pill am I willing to swallow?
Yeah.
Even the Republicans weren't happy about it, but they got on board behind it.
Yeah, it's just, it is what it is. And I don't think it's what anybody wants. Which I don't think anything that comes out of Washington. That surprises me,
too, because Republicans are historically bad at rallying behind things.
They weren't happy about it. Yeah. Even Ted Cruz was like, I'm out. Yeah. All right, guys, I guess
Even at the RNC, but he got booed pretty hard for not coming out and saying, okay.
I kind of respected him at that moment. I do, too. You stood your ground, man. Go for it.
Yeah, but I think he would have been a worse president. But he might have acted more presidential.
Oh, he would have definitely acted more presidential.
Yeah. Which, isn't that just really the only thing that America wants? Is someone who's going to come in and act presidential for 4 years and give us some good jokes?
Well, I do like jokes.
We've got the second half.
Yeah. We do have a lot of memes.
Barack Obama, he was a classy dude. He wasn't really all that funny. George W. Bush.
Not until he started crying about gun control.
Oh, well.
That's when he got kind of funny.
But George W. Bush gave us 8 years of comedy gold.
That's true.
Yeah. That's true. That was some fun. And Bill Clinton gave us a lot too.
And we've got 4 years at least of some comedy here.
It's gonna be, but it's gonna be dark comedy. It's gonna be horror.
Yeah,
it's gonna be.
I mean, but dark comedy is dark comedy racist now? Are we allowed to talk about that? Yeah,
I don't know. Here's the thing, I'm not gonna say that.
we gotta just say it and bleep it.
Well, guys, we have done it. We have eaten up 45 minutes.
Did we solve the world's problems?
I'm sure we did.
Okay.
I'm sure the whole world over will listen to this and say, you know what?
I was going to bring up the scripture as far as anti-racist.
Oh,
anti-racism.
Let's hear it.
Galatians 3:28 that says
this is what we brought her so we can have the good one.
There's neither Jew nor Greek, there's neither slave nor free, there's neither male nor female, for you're all one in Christ Jesus. And I feel like that's the stance we as Christians need to take on things. I mean, Paul says it, Jesus showed it in his actions when he went to the Samaritan woman, when he talked about the Samaritans in general. Like, he brought races together. Why are we still 2,000 and some odd years later separating ourselves against us versus them mentality?
Yeah.
It's, you know, we're supposed to be on an equal playing field.
Yeah, exactly. Now I feel like we should end in prayer. That's not going to happen.
I've prayed enough today.
Yeah.
I hit my quota.
Everybody, we'll see you next time. Thanks for listening.